Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Question number one, I get that. But then I go to two because it's funny how even though we know his will is perfect and the only thing that can really happen is his will, we rationalized like I done this before and I told myself God done gave in to my desire. Now I might be the only one, but I'm saying like in that moment, want what I want. Hey, if I keep doing this, he's going to just get tired of me doing it. Mm-hmm. And he going to give me what I want. And it's so far from the truth, but mm-hmm. that's how the flesh works.
Right.
The flesh works because that's what we want. The flesh, yeah. Our mind tied to the flesh. And that's what we want. And God said, well, I'm not over there, but keep going. Keep going. And the further you go, the further you're getting from me. And then eventually you're going to get in the red. And then you're going to really have to do some repentance. You ain't really in the repentance stage, but keep going.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
I think one of the questions he asked, too, was, hey, Mr. George, you can help me with this, make sure I understand, is you asked the question, what do God want us to learn from it?
Yes. Yeah, it says, what might God want you to learn through those experiences?
I think the thing is, out of all of it, to me is, mm-hmm. you got to trust him. Todd kind of summed it up along what Jerome said too, but it's our wants, not mm-hmm. our needs now. Notice mm-hmm. that our wants.
Right.
A lot of times. But it's not what we need, right? If you go back in the biblical days, I mean, Old mm-hmm. Testament, it was always the wants that got people in trouble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was always what they think they wanted mm-hmm. at that particular time. You know, and it's the same thing with us. Well, with me, I can't speak for y'all. I got to speak for Prentice Brooks. It's that want that gets you in trouble.
Right.
A lot of times because I don't have what God sees for me, so mm-hmm. I feel I need the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the here and now mm-hmm. doesn't equate to what mm-hmm. the plans God has set forth for me already. And so that's when we find ourselves, as Todd said, with those bumps and bruises,
mm-hmm.
because we want to dwell in the here and now.
Right.
But a lot, here's the thing I think we need to make sure we understand. Just because we go God's way
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean it's easy.
Yep.
It just means you got God with you along the way.
Yeah, it's foolproof that way.
That's good, Francis.
Yeah, it doesn't mean it's easy. But he says, when it gets to a point, he'll just carry us.
Right.
I'll tell you, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. You know, I love to talk about myself. What I'm learning in my struggles is when I'm dealing with other Christians is, especially in my personal life, wanting everybody to be where I'm at
mm.
and not understanding when they're not.
Right, right.
You know, for me, Jerome, I'm mm. learning that you can't make other people understand where you're coming from.
Right.
You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And you have to learn to let people be where they at. And then when you don't agree with it, you can't get mad about it. You just can't get mad about somebody else's thought process. if they don't agree with your thought process. I mean, because what I'm learning now in my life is that you can think you have it down. You can think you understand it. But just because George and I both serve God don't mean we're going to see it the same.
Right.
And not saying George know more than me or I know more than George, but you have to allow the other individual to get where you at or to get to where you get an understanding. Todd and I discuss stuff like this all the time, but I do believe that eventually we're supposed to get on the same page.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If we both are searching the word in the scriptures, and right. If Todd and I disagree about speaking in tongues, one of us are lacking something when we don't agree about that particular scriptures. And eventually, right. God's going to show it to either one of us or both of us, and then we're going to be able to get on the same accord, because the word wants us to be on the same accord if we're studying the word properly. Right. So that's what I'm learning sometimes on Tuesday when we talk about the word. I don't agree with everything you guys say, and you guys don't agree with everything we say.
Right.
But at the end of the night, mm-hmm. I feel like when we leave Tuesday, man, that all of us are pretty much on one accord, but what our thought process. We don't have to agree 100%, but I have mm-hmm. to allow Prentice to have his thought process and his perspective without feeling like Prentice is not a Christian because he don't agree with Jerome, or Jerome is not a Christian because he don't agree with Prentice. I think that's where we get in trouble. I think that's where Christians get in trouble of how they view each other. I just wanted to put that out there.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's so powerful, because the Bible even talks about that. You know, you disagree to agree to be agreeable. See, you can be a portion in that at time where you agree. Now, I'm going to tell you, this thing is powerful with us, because we, what we do is we don't let our feelings get so wrapped up and involved with everything. We allow the Holy Spirit, because just like Jerome said, somebody might say something we might not agree about. We'll discuss it. And see, that's what I like about it. And then somebody come up and say, well, this is the way I look at it. And then everybody come into agreement at a point in time. So we have to do that, because that's what the Holy Spirit allows us as individuals and men of God to add something to when we come on these calls. Right. And that's sometimes I'll just stand back and listen and wait, because a lot of times you have to let the Holy Spirit or something you read to get in your spirit, so you'll be able to speak, you know, to be able to help somebody, because it's more than just us on this call, because there's other people that's listening.
Right.
So that's what the impact, when we do that, we want it to impact the airways.
Amen.
Because that's like, just like the when we even talked about Jeremiah 20, how impactful that thing was, that it just spread it, you know, and it went to other portions of the scripture, and it able to illuminate some other things you were thinking in your mind.
Right. Like Prentice said, when Prentice said that set aside part, like what Jerome was talking about, that we as believers and men of God should be able to disagree and come back. The difference is to come back.
Right, you know, correct.
I've seen several guys say, hey, last week, when you said such and such, I didn't see it, and now I got it, and it was found in another place. And set aside, that's what set aside is, because in the world, if you disagree with Big Five mm-hmm. will talk to you for a minute, if ever. But being set aside, I can set my pride to the side and know that you're a brother in Christ also, that what you're telling me is in love, and it's the word. It's not your feeling. It's not you taking a shot. It's you showed me what God does, says the Lord.
Right.
Amen.
And I got a question. Why is it that it seems like we don't talk about patience in this walk, or impatience much?
I can answer that.
What's up, bro? Glad you made it in.
What's up, bro? Y'all, please excuse me being in the dark, but I'm in the car and I'm driving because of the power, storm knocked out the power of the house, but I'm traveling to somewhere I can get some light. But one thing, a reason we talk about patience means waiting.
Right.
And nobody wants to deal with the concept of waiting on anything.
Right.
We live in instant gratification. That's why it is so difficult to wait on God to move in his time. And right. people say it may not come when you want it, but it'll always be on time. Amen. Our wanting a move or wanting something is instantaneous yes. because we're in an instantaneous situation until I get an answer. It forces us to have to sit there and be passive until the situation changes according to what God's will is. That's why we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it because we don't want people to know that you might have to wait for some things. Matter of fact, we lie to people and tell them, when you come on this side, everything's going to be all right. We don't tell them that everything's going to be all right down the line.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's why we don't talk about it.
Right. I asked that, like I said, man, Charles been on fire with this Jeremiah 29:11. And one of the texts, one of the messages he sent me, man, and when I read it, man, I read it a couple of times and I wasn't really quite sure, but that what came to me, because we so quick to go to our will and our own understanding. We so quick to jump out of our faith and trust right. us and trust us. Hey, I can do this. I'm talking about me. This is what right. I tell me. This doesn't take a miracle. This is something I should be able to do in the natural, so I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go ahead and do it, and then he'll bless it. You know, he'll bless it. I just need to move this and this, and then he, voila, he touched it, and it's all good now. But all that stems from, like Lynn said, my inability to be patient and to wait on the Lord. So that 29:11, that's what resonated in me. Is like
right.
We got all the scripture. We've seen all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders. But I gotta go to Raleigh an extra day to my daughter's dance mm-hmm. recital, and it causes me to pull my hair out. That's nothing, but that's an example of how quick we jump out of our faith.
Right. Amen.
Somebody mm-hmm. It's one thing too. You're talking about being patient and holding. People tell you, well, when you pray for something, you don't pray for it more than one time,
right?
And you don't remind God. That is not true. That is not actually. It's not even biblical.
Right.
God says all the time, "Remind me of my word. Put me mm-hmm. in remembrance of you." Right. And so much so that when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed the exact same prayer three right. times. He didn't change the word.
Right.
He said, "Father, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Mm-hmm. And if it would, this cup would pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done." And then he left and he came back and prayed the same prayer three times. And so when you talk about patience, God, understand that everything is a process. It's not instant. Our flesh wants instant gratification. If you look at it psychologically, it's the id, the ego, and the superego. That right. id is that one that always wants to get what it wants to get now. And you know, and that's the thing, we have to be conscious of that. Waiting is teaching us to understand that where we are is not as bad as where we come from, and it's not quite as good as where we're about to go.
Right.
And all a process. Like, get dressed to go on a trip. You got to know what kind of going on and what the appropriate dress is. And then when you get to your destination, you have to dress for the journey. And when you put the clothes on, you don't just jump into an instant suit. You take the time to make sure that it is presentable. Get in it one leg at a time. Do what you need to do button by button. Get yourself presentable and then take the journey. So right. that's a part of the process. So is this in this life.
Right. And when you read, as you go through the Bible, all the things, once the blessings came or when they was delivered, deliverance never really have been a week. It never, even though they wasn't in the mindset of waiting, they wasn't in the mindset that we waiting. You know, you're talking hundreds of years. Some things took hundreds of years, 40 years. I seen 40 years a lot. But why that we have scriptures now that shows how this thing works, how he moves on his timing, but we still lack patience.
You know, right. somebody will rebut this and say, well, God did instant healing. And it's true, he did instant healing. However, he always made a point to let you know how long that person had been in that situation.
Right, right.
And that's the thing that I think a lot of the man out by the pool of Bethesda had been that way for 38 years.
Yes.
The blind man had been blind for 38
right.
years.
Right, right.
You know, and the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years.
12 years.
You know, and so we think, well, he can do an instant healing in his timing. 12 years, she suffered. For 38 years, the man was blind. For 38 years, that man couldn't move.
Right.
You know, so it's all about processing and waiting your turn. Right. As a matter of fact, that story about the man at the pool of Bethesda is so important because it said at a certain time, the angel came and troubled the water, and whomever stepped down first came in and got the blessing. That lets you know that even in the midst of your infirmity, it's still going to be a certain time, and you still got to be in the right position to get what you need.
Right.
I also think that patience goes along with the obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right.
I don't see me getting nothing if I'm not doing it the right way.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct. That's right.
If we're not living totally the way he wants us to live, and we expect a blessing, just not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
I don't think you can be patient without being obedient.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Right. And that word just been in my spirit since Charles sent me that text. And I'm sure I've heard it maybe taught here and there, but I just think it's a quality that we need to bring to the forefront a little more in this walk, especially for someone who's listening. If someone listening and they're struggling and they're trying to find their way, patience is definitely a virtue because you're not gonna feel like you're there. You're not gonna feel different. You're not gonna feel set aside. I mean, I just started realizing that I was set aside, set apart, cut differently. He called me. So having the patience, and in my case, it wasn't even really patience. He just covered me so much and protected me to get to this point. And really, man, I really took off and men's wrong, talked about the word every single day for 2 years and 3 years. And so you can't help but to get it that way. But if someone's out here and they got a mentor, you know, just be patient. Just be patient.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to ask a question. Do anybody know in Acts chapter 3 how long the crippled guy had been, you know, it just said, for, you know, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple. And then, you know, Peter healed him. How long had he been? How long has he been a paralegal?
It gives no description of his age. However, we can assume being a man, let's say just a rite of passage. 12-year-olds is a rite of bar mitzvah. So that's 12 years old over that. That's manhood. But him to been in that infirmity, I'm thinking that man had to be in that lifespan, that average lifespan would have, I think, 30 to 45 years old at that time. So let's just say he's in his early 30s. So still, he's a grown man. And to be called a man puts him at least to still have had that infirmity for over 12 years.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. It's true.
So it is amazing, man. When we sit there, and like you're saying, the Bible even said that patience is the fruit of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the fruit. And so therefore, we understand that without it, you're not going to have peace, joy, long suffering, because they all go hand in hand with each other.
Right, right.
And when we're absent of patience that means you're anxious. When you're anxious, you can't sit still. You're unsettled. Right. Then you're unstable. And then you become double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, think nothing that he should receive anything of God. Exactly what Jerome just said. Right. So when we talk about teaching patience, you know, it's like I said, it's not glorified because you can't amplify patience.
Right.
You can't go and expound on being patient and it sound good in a sermon and everybody gonna sit there. When you tell them what you're going through right now, you might have to go through for a little while.
Damn right.
Who wants to hear that?
Damn right. Right. Hey, Pastor. Right. Hey, Pastor. Hey, Pastor. Yeah. Come on now.
Because they want it right now.
Right now.
That's right.
I done seen him heal. I read about the healing. I got to go the next Sunday. I want this going.
You know the bad part about it is when you get it, you don't even realize you got it, and then you don't believe you got it. Remember, I think I told y'all about what I used to drink. I used to drink a lot. Mm-hmm. And I ask God, why is it that I go to these meetings with drug addicts and alcoholics, and they tell me how you instantly deliver them from drinking, yet I still drink?
Right.
And then the one time that I heard in my spirit, you were delivered from drinking, my first thing, I laughed and said, yeah, right. Got up from what I was doing, went to the store, got a six-pack of beer, came back and drank one. swallow out of one. And when I tell you that heat hit my body like somebody had a furnace and they had thrown me in it, I think I was in that furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And couldn't cool off until I said, okay, God, I won't do it no more. And then my body cooled off. He had gave me the answer to my question, and I still didn't believe it. I still had to test and see. We do that stupid stuff as children of God today. God said, okay, I done brought you out of that thing. And you said, well, I'm going to test it. I want to see. Because I live by your grace. You're going to let me come out of it. Well, guess what?
Right.
Grace runs out.
Yeah.
Glenn.
What about you, sir?
Glenn, you know what happened to you, man, when you drunk that beer?
What's that?
You had an encounter with God.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's what that was.
Guys, just because somebody might be listening, what we just talked about, the paralegic in Acts, Acts 4 and 22, it says that the man was over 40 years old.
Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
For the man who was miraculous healed was over 40 years old. Acts 4, 22.
That's the Amplified?
It's NIV.
That's NIV. You know, and I like that you did that, Jerome. That leads to something I think we need to say, too. A lot of people have problems because of the version of the Bible they read. It doesn't break it down the way King James, people were born in it, they understand it. But if you need to get better understanding, there's nothing wrong with getting an Amplified, a New International Version.
Right.
You know, something that reads it, that you can understand it, that breaks it down into a vernacular that is, it resonates with you. It's still God's word. It might not be the words because it's translated. And so it might be the words that you're used to, but it's still the word of God. Amen. And it still has the power. So anybody that's struggling with the King James, find you something that resonates in your spirit.
Right, correct.
You know, and let it speak to you, because the word is power. And and Jesus said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. With him was all things made, without him was anything made that was made. So if it's a Bible that's being translated into something that you understand, make sure that, you know, there's nothing wrong with going to find something that makes you, helps you out.
Right, correct. Yeah. Jerome, that was Acts, what was that?
Acts 4, 22.
22. Okay, got you. You know, and what Glenn is talking about is true, because I even have a Believer's Bible commentary that you can get. I mean, it's pop. I mean, it breaks it down from even that, you know, because you get the scripture and then you go to it and has it and explains it, you know, as well. So it's all types of and he's right, man. I might read the King James and I might have NIV to really get an understanding of it, or even New Living.
When we was talking about that patience thing, I had to step out of the room for a second, but did anybody mention about the persistent widow when Jesus told the parable?
Yes, sir. Nobody mentioned it. Go with that, though. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And about she went to the judge seeking justice.
Uh-huh.
And that's in Luke 18, 1 through 8. And then part of that, Jesus said, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, and will keep putting them off? It's like she was the persistent.
Yeah.
Jesus said that she cried out day and night.
Right.
Said, well, if we the chosen ones, or we are God's creation, we are here to serve God. Won't God give us justice?
Come on,
this time? Won't he give us the justice we need?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it goes along with what you said earlier. It goes along with the belief, having faith.
I like it.
I was talking with Josh earlier about it, but you know, at some point, you had to become convinced of
that
what God's word is saying is true.
Right.
You had to get to that point in your life and understand that I believe in God and his word. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that no matter what that situation is, it's going to turn out in my favor.
Yep.
In my favor.
All things
God's word says is true.
Right.
Somebody give me an example where they didn't have a choice but to utilize patience. I'm not on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably at a 2. Far as incorporating it into my walk. I'm growing. That's something I pray about every day. Somebody give me an example where they had no choice but to utilize their patience.
You already did. You said it. When they were in the wilderness for 40 years, they had no choice but to utilize patience.
Right.
No choice. Then in the midst of that wilderness experience, imagine coming out of Egypt before they even went into the wilderness. And you between a sea and a mountain and an army coming down on you. Mm-hmm. And you panicking. And you got to trust God to get out of that. And then because of your disbelief, after you watch him deliver you from that instantaneously, then you get to the other side and you start to doubt. He constantly has to feed you. And when he puts you before the giants, the first thing pops up in your brain is doubt. And then he tells you, okay, what it took you a few days to get to, now it's going to take you 40 years. And everybody over the age of 19 is going to die before you can reach the promised land. You ain't got no choice but to exercise patience, because basically if you over 19, you just waiting to die.
Right. That's right.
That's good. That's good. Now I want a personal one from one of my brothers. I want a personal illustration where you was in a situation where you had no choice but to utilize patience.
Let me see.
I'll take it.
You got it?
Yeah, I'll take it first. You can go ahead. I went to Iraq for 15 months. About 6 months in, I was on an Air Force base in Iraq, Saddam Hussein's Air Force base, and probably don't go to say that on live, but the planes was coming in every day, man.
Mm-hmm.
I literally got so homesick to where I wanted to go jump on the plane and just hide to come home. It was that bad at times, but you have no choice.
Right.
You have no choice but to exercise patience when you lock down in a foreign country. Mm-hmm. You got orders to be there for 15 months and you cannot leave.
Right.
And man, I'm going to tell you something. When you are put in a predicament where you have no choice but to be patient.
Right.
And you started thinking about coming home. It's a tough pill to swallow. It really is.
Man.
Right.
Can't even imagine. That's good. That's good. Brother Robert.
Let me see. Can I shed a little light? As a young minister, my pastor passed away, and the church, they took their time in voting in a new pastor. Finally, they voted me in a year or so later. And I pastored for about 4 or 5 years, and the owner of the building, new owners, for some reason, you know, gave about 100% increase on the rent that we had and everything. So I sought the Lord, and we talked, and I told him, I said, whatever you decide, that's what we'll do. If we're going to continue to pay this, then we'll pay it. And the answer came up no. I mean, I'm pastoring now, but the answer came up no. And I didn't procrastinate. I told the church, I told my family that we're going to move the furniture and everything into a storage room, and we'll see what the Lord say. On the night that we was moving the furniture out, a bishop walked through the door. I know him well, we fellowship a lot. And he said that his church roof had just fell in, so they needed a place to worship. And I told him we was moving this night, the Lord. So we joined together that night, fellowship in that building for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
We're still together today. We moved into the sanctuary that the roof fell in. And we still in that sanctuary today. The Lord brought me and the bishop together, and we've been together ever since. Since that night, that I was moving out, waiting on the Lord, and he sent the bishop through that door. Wasn't nobody in there but my family, and he walked through that door. Nobody can make me separate from him, because I know that God brought us together.
Right.
You have to wait on the Lord, dog. You might not wait, but you're going to have to if you want to be blessed. According to the word of God,
right.
It's not going to be popular. A lot of people going to call you crazy and all kind of names. But if you just wait, and like he said, wait, I said, wait on the Lord.
Good job, brother. Good job. Anybody else got something else?
Well, you guys know my story already somewhat. I don't know if everybody knows, but I know some of you guys know because I've talked about it before. I have been where I am now, employed now, would be 27 years, Mr. Price. 27 years. These last 2 years has been the worst 2 years of my life. And Mr. Dakota can testify to it because he was been standing right there with me. I have gone to him and told him I got to go. See, you got to understand, my position there was a position of authority. There's only two other people that's been there in a department of 100 people, 110 people longer than I have. Only two. And I'll be 52 this year. So out of that entire department, there's only two people that been there longer than me. And they only been there longer than I have by 1 year. Only 1 year separate us. And I really don't mind that this is on live because God has already spoken. Those last two years, I've had young people that started there come up to me and they asked me, how can you, this is how bad things were for me. They asked, how can you take this and still smile? Because they saw what was going on around me and what was being done. And they would come to me and literally try and ask me, say, how much more longer are you going to be here? Because I don't see you staying. These are young cats. These cats ain't been here 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And they saying this. And see, just this last 2 months, the Lord, and believe me, I've been praying, y'all. I've stood out in my driveway. Lord, I got to go or they got to go. I can't take it. I've had people in other departments say, if you come over here, I create a spot for you. I got something for you. All you got to do is say the word.
Right.
And I mm-hmm. would, these are people from other departments looking in, seeing what's going on. And they're coming to me telling me this. And every time I pray to God, he will be, I got you. Don't move. I got you. And when he moved, God, you know, he didn't pull me, say, out of the department. And I don't want to misuse the scripture, but I swear this the way I feel when he said he will make your enemies a footstool.
Right.
He did not move me out of the department. He didn't just move me out. He took everything. He uplifted my whole position. See, when you work at the city, you move into another job to go to a department. That didn't happen. He uprooted me, my position, everything in this department and said, I'm going to create something new. So you got to understand, this department don't exist nowhere else in the city.
Right.
He said, I'm going to create this. And you're not going to just be in it. You're going to be the number two man in it.
Look at it.
And everybody, and here's what I'm gonna give people that's going to work for you. And you only have one man to answer to.
Jesus. It's all right.
And now, it's not what, I didn't take you and put you in a corner. I sat you right in the middle of everything. Because mm-hmm. it took me where I was one department. I'm going to put you over the whole two departments. You're not just going to teach one. You're going to be over both departments.
Right.
Amen. That has their own individual superintendents. And then he said, I got a phone call the other day from the assistant city manager. Tell you what I'm choked up.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
When the assistant city manager tell you he been praying for you.
Come on now.
Yes.
So you look at it on the outside and you telling me you've been praying for me.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Be patient and wait.
Jesus.
He said, yes, sir.
Hey, man, I'm way in Greenville. I think I want a room, man.
Come on now.
Listen, I don't want to cut you off. I mean, what you're saying, man, you're giving God glory. But I'm hung up on Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You just print.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You just said was a manifestation of Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. He said, what?
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord.
Yes,
thoughts
amen.
Of good and not evil, thoughts to prosper you, thoughts to bring you into an expected end and a hope and a glory.
Right. Glenn, I can't hear that. Say that again, please.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, thoughts to prosper you and bring you to an expected end of hope and glory.
Now, you said that in my bad ear. Say that in my
good ear. You want any good ear?
Oh, that.
Come on now.
That right there is where the truth changes the facts.
Ooh. Mm.
Wow. That right there, that is a manifestation of God's glory being manifested in your life. Mm-hmm. And Francis, you ain't got to worry about reading about what Paul did, what Peter did, or Jeremiah, Isaiah. You got your own testimony of what God did for Prentice.
Right.
That's personal. Because he said he had thoughts about you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes on, and Jerome brought it up a little last week in 14, about when you're in captivity, he will bring you out of captivity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, Jay, give me something. I see that hamster turning. Give me something,
man.
Awesome,
I want to put something tough on the table for us, because that's what we are about. Y'all know how deep I like to go.
Yeah,
do it.
So get ready for this question.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a little chance to build it up.
Okay.
In James chapter 2, verse 19, he said, "You believe that there is one God." Good. Mm-hmm. Even the demons believe that and shudder.
Right.
My question to the panel tonight, why they can't be saved? Why demons? Why demons can't be saved if they believe in God? Because let me finish. Rahab was a prostitute.
Correct.
And right. all she did was sent some spies in a different location.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was considered righteousness for her.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham just showed faith by offering it up his own son, and it was considered righteousness for him. So as I was reading this, I said, wow, if they believe, because some beliefs and having faith was what believing is, having faith that there is a God saves these people. Why the demons can't be saved? That's my question.
All right. I got to ask for that. The demons and Satan are, when Satan fell, the Bible says he took a third of the angels with him.
Yes.
And so that's where you get your demons from. They are the servants of Satan. They are the followers of Satan. That's where they come from. Now, understand that as men and women, we are in time. We are what's called corporeal beings. That means we are subject to time. So our sins have regulations to time. Because we sin, we have time to come back and repent and be forgiven. When they sin absent of time and eternity. So they have no remittance of sin because their sin is eternal. They cannot be brought back because that sin will remain with them for as long as they exist until that day God throws Satan and his demons into the pit of fire for hell. Pit of fire forever. So because they sin outside of time and sin in eternity, they have no right to repentance. That is why Satan hates us so much. The reason he hates us is we have the ability to go to God and say, I'm sorry. He can't go to God and say, I'm sorry.
even though he is still subject to his presence and his power.
Right.
That's why the Bible said that his demons believe and tremble, because they know that the power of God lies right. in his son, Jesus Christ, and they are subject. Remember when they came upon the man Legion, demon, and they said, he said, what is your name? He said, we are Legion, for we are many. And but the question, the thing they did, the first thing he said is that we adjure you that you cast us not into nothing, but allow us to go into those sheep or those swine. And Jesus said, go. They understood the presence, because they, when they saw, said, what is it? It's not our time. Jesus, the Son of God, it's not our time. Why come and torment us? It is not our time. They understood it. So they know that there's a time where they will be cast into the lake of fire forever, because their sin can never be forgiven. Does that make sense?
Right.
I would take the swing at the predestined because of the predestined. Everybody is not called. Everybody's not chosen. I might be missing that one, but the predestined.
Yeah, you talk about predestination, but people are predestination to a certain disposition.
Right.
Because everybody, rather predestination, if you believe in the predestination theory or you believe in repentance, everybody has a right to come mm-hmm. to Jesus Christ and be forgiven.
Right.
Now, that predestination said that I was born this way, and from the beginning of time, this is how I was going to end up. But when we talk about demons yeah. were the fallen angels. They're outside mm-hmm. of time. Mm-hmm. And because they're outside of time, they don't have a right to come back and say, I'm sorry.
Okay.
A person, because once you are born, even if you believe in predestination, you have a right to repentance.
Right.
And so that is the separation. Demons are separate entities. They are created beings of God that sin in heaven, outside of time and eternity. And so they can never be forgiven. That sin can never be changed. It can never be wiped out.
That's good. That's good.
I'm not going to make a comment about that one. We'll have to do something. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, go with it. We said we're going deep. Let's go with it.
No, we'll leave it alone.
You got a big vein in your head.
No.
Yeah, I'm saying. I see it right on the side.
He is shining.
If you would have had that big vein, we could go. We could
still go far, but you got that vein. And the Bible says, so, like, come, let us reason together. So let's use the reason.
I can't even put my thoughts together, man. I'm just.
Brother Jerome, go ahead and take a break.
I'm
going to talk to Mr. Brooks. I'm going to talk to Mr. Brooks a minute. I'm going to back up to where he was testifying. I just want you to think about Joseph.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And how his brothers treated him.
Right.
How he was sold to Potiphar. How Potiphar's wife accused him of sleeping with her. All the things that happened to him. But remember, he was a dreamer. And everything that he dreamed came true. Can you imagine? Even though he tried and wanted, this is the part I want you to pay attention to. He could have treated them bad. He didn't. Once he came to power, he was number two in Egypt. You know what kind of man of God that takes? That he could have even slept with Potiphar's wife and nobody wouldn't have known. But because of the God that's in him and the God that's in you, I know that however long you stay at the city, you're going to allow God the light to shine in you to them. Because I know the people that you're talking about. And listen, they don't know your God.
Amen.
They can't do nothing to your God. You serve a big God that likes to do big things. He doesn't do anything small. When he elevates where everybody can see. Everybody. And they know that Prentice Brooks didn't do this. It had to be God. It had to be God. Nobody does but God. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let Brother Jerome come back if he desire. I don't want a job.
You know, before, if God be for you,
who could be against
you? Amen.
But you know, Price has brought up a good point. Todd asked that question about an example of being patient. Remember, Joseph was in jail, and remember that he interpreted the dreams.
Yeah.
And he told the cupbearer, he said, you're going to go back, and you're going to be before your master, back in your place. Remember me when you get there. It was 13 years later
right.
that Pharaoh had the dream. 13 mm-hmm. years, that man told him, remember me. And it took 13 years for a conversation to happen between the cupbearer and Pharaoh so that Joseph could get out of jail. Now, you talking about being in a place where you are forced to be patient.
That right.
And still, he was about his duty in that jail, doing everything right. that he was doing before.
That's right.
That's that obedience and that patience.
Right.
Oh, come on now.
And he found favor. God gave him favor at every step of his life. He found favor with Potiphar. He found favor in jail. And you know he found favor with Pharaoh. So,
Right.
have a perfect work.
Brother Robert, I think sometimes we outrun our favor because we're not patient.
Right. Yeah.
We get to running and seeking what our flesh desire, and our ran past your favor. Ran past another favor. So that was good. That's good.
Right.
But that, you know what? Like Francis said earlier, how he was patient and he stayed where he was at. The word says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich.
Right.
And no sorrow.
No sorrow with it. Right. Psalms says that he surrounds you as with a shield of favor. Princess had that favor sitting right there in the midst of where he was at. It was favor with God that elevated him to where he's at now, the true manifestation of the word. That helps me, because it don't matter what mama say, don't matter what daddy say, my uncle, cousin, my best friend. Mm-hmm. But when that truth is being told, the truth will manifest itself and changes whatever situation or circumstance that I'm in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And God gets the glory.
That's amen. Right. Amen.
And the beauty in Prentice's story, man, he withstood it.
Yes. Right.
He withstood it. And because of that, God got the glory, because the people that was doing the torment and making it miserable, they know, even if they're not believers, they know that it wasn't Prentice doing. It was God. It was all God. So God get the glory. That's how he gets the glory, by us. Mm-hmm. Our part is standing still, being still and being obedient and being patient.
Stand and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yes.
And Paul talks about these light afflictions that we go through. Mm-hmm. These light afflictions that we go through produce, God will take those afflictions and turn it around and produce a glory
right.
that rests upon the believer.
Right.
So Prentice, you got that glory, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God. And he said, and Paul said, the light affliction that we're going through is just for a moment, but yet out of that moment, it produces that glory, God's glory on our lives.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All the people you helped too.
Yes.
You know, along. So he saw, you know, he rewarded you. What you've done in secret came to light too, because you were still helping people.
And think about how many guys is going to be impacted down the road.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In that patience, from the patience realm, guys that went through that, watched you go through that,
right.
That's somebody going to water and plant the seed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they witnessed God get the glory through what you went through two or three years from now. And that's why it's so important for us to be patient and so God can do what he does. And in the affliction Charles was talking about, we have to take those light afflictions so we can get to where we need to be, so God can get the glory. Brother Jay, you ready? That vein done went down in your head.
Oh, I'm good, brother. I'm good. Y'all go ahead, man. I'm good.
Somebody else too as well.
Yes.
Because what's going to have impact on later on of that, them men saw Brother Penner go through that, they're going to say, man, look what God done for him. God will do it for me.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Person. What he do for one, he'll do for another.
Amen. But,
you know, and like we were talking about the whole night, gotta have patience.
Gotta have patience.
They saw true patience.
God.
Now the thing I'm getting this thing that patience, my patience is not only for me.
It's for somebody.
From somebody else. It's for somebody else. If I'm patient and those around me watching, and they know my walk, they know who I serve, then I can have a great impact by withstanding and going through those light afflictions.
Right.
Brother Dakota, put something on the table. I see you rocking over there. You're about to rock off the screen.
Man. Praise the Lord, brothers. My God. Every time when I think I'm hot stuff and I think I know everything there is to know about the word, I run into you, brothers. And because Brother Jerome would have had me on that question about the demons, and Pastor Glenn, my God.
That's the Lord.
I could have just turned the phone off and just disconnected from y'all and went to bed off of that one.
Bless the Lord.
When he broke that one down with that one, because I wouldn't have had an answer for that. But my God, I mean, lastly, just when I think I know stuff. But y'all say, by far as patience is concerned, that long stuff and that fruit of the spirit. Right now, like I say, I work with Brother Prentice right now, and I'm in the middle of that right now. That brother done been delivered. I'm still waiting on my ship to come deliver me and whatnot. We were just talking about that today. It's 28 years you got to have in the retirement system. You see, he said he had 27. I'm at 21. I'm ready to go right now. But I still got to wait. I got to wait my time out. And right now, it's a mess where we work at right now and whatnot. But God delivered him, and what God did for him, I know God can do it for me as well. I'm praying a different type of prayer. What I'm praying is I'm being patiently waiting for God to send in better leadership, put it that way. Right. And what better leadership and positive change. That's what I'm saying.
We need right.
Because, you know, you can replace a fool with a fool. So you got to be careful about what you ask for.
Right.
So just saying that we need positive change around there, and I'm in the middle of it right now. And like you said, it takes patience for that stuff. And there's some beautiful testimonies there and whatnot. But like we were saying, like when you first get saved in Christ, when we talked a little bit about last week, about stopping doing some things, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some patience. It's like a sculptor with a hammer and a nail. And you're just chipping off a piece of just a piece every day, a little by little, piece by piece, trying to get better, to stop whatever it is that you're doing. And it takes patience. It takes time. I'm not in no hurry to be the pastor of a church. I've been an assistant pastor for years. And when I can easily go out there and try and rent a storefront somewhere and start my own thing. But first of all, God didn't tell me to do that. I don't mind hanging out where I don't mind doing what I'm doing right now and still yet learning and still being obedient under my leadership that I'm at right now. That's patience. I remember Elder Price said years ago, being a pastor is not cracked up what it's all about. It's not what it seems to be.
Hallelujah.
I've never heard Pastor Glenn give his testimony, but almost every pastor I know, I never heard nobody pray and say, I want to be a pastor. I want this. You mostly hear people say they was running from it and whatnot until it was just time for them to do what they had to do, or they was came right into it, or whatever the case may be and whatnot. Right. But I stay right there. I've been saved since 2003. I put my hand on the plow right around 2004 and been going strong ever since. And I'm not in a hurry to be one, but it's just, it's long suffering. That's all. You got to have that. That's the fruit of the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Got to have patience for anything. You got to have patience with parenting. You got to have patience with children. You got to have patience with your marriage. I mean, a lot of that type of stuff is all part of long suffering. And I think we all got a story to tell, but God bless you, brothers. Keep it going. I'm just still soaking it up. Once again, when I think I know everything, you brothers make me feel like inch high private and whatnot. And I just enjoy listening to you brothers, man, and learning. God bless you.
I got a comment, Todd. I got a comment based off of Brother Dakota. And this comment is to Brother Dakota, George, Glenn. I'm not sure what his name is. Brother Robert. I'm asking the question because I'm not. But I talked to George about this earlier. I felt it in my spirit about Brother Glenn. Mm-hmm. But my question to all of you, if God made you a pastor, if he made you not an evangelist, not a Christian brother, wouldn't he want you to take the step to have your own flock? My question to all of you guys that call yourselves or want to be a pastor is, I think when God make people a pastor, he didn't make you a pastor to sit behind somebody else. He made you a pastor to take that leap of faith in him to go get your own flock and lead your sheep.
Right.
See, when a man leads a sheep, he ain't leading sheep behind somebody else. He leading sheep because God led him to lead the sheep of his own flock. That's right. My word to all of you, that if you are a pastor or in the process of being a pastor, I just believe that you ought to go out and lead your own flock.
Amen. Amen.
That's just my word, that I just believe with all the scriptures that I'm reading, when he talks about his, when he talks about his sheep and he talks about his pastors, I don't see nothing in the Bible where it talks about pastor being behind another pastor. Mm-hmm. I don't see a man that's leading a sheep got another sheep and he leading his sheep behind somebody else. The sheep, he always got somebody else that lead, and it's one person leading the sheep and then the sheep follow him. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying to all of you guys. If you got that gift that God done gave you and you sitting, I think you're out of order.
Amen. It's more so that there's different types of flocks that need to be fed differently. Mm-hmm. For instance, I use, let's say a pastor that's up in age, as Moses was, and the Lord told him that Joshua was going to take his place. See, the Lord always has to prepare for somebody to take somebody's place. Right. That's the thing. You're not there forever. That's the thing about pastors. You're not there forever. Somebody's coming to take your place, and you're going to move on. Well,
We're talking about somebody old and I. We're talking about young men right here. I got you.
Now, as far as going out, starting a church and picking up sheep, if the Lord sent you that way, he will equip and tell you where to go. Mm-hmm. But don't go because, as Elder Rand said, don't go because you feel you got it, you big and all that. Because the fellas that y'all was talking about, you and Glenn was talking about earlier, that one third that got cast out, they will eat you alive. So you can't just run out there and just think because you become a preacher now and you got it, as Elder Rand said. You gotta wait for the Lord to tell you.
Let me reword this if I can it differently.
Yeah, help me out.
Calling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The calling and the gift. I firmly believe it's not a secondary calling, meaning he doesn't gift us that to set behind.
Mm-hmm.
I that's just my belief, and to be it's because there's so many flocks out there. We got a lot of strong guys sitting behind people when the need is so great and there's so many flocks. I don't know if I'm doing a better job, but I don't think you get that gift to set pat with it, if that makes sense.
Well, let me see if I can help y'all. There's a man named Paul, and before he was cast in jail, he had a relationship with a young man named Timothy. And he had another relationship with a young man named Barnabas and Mark. He was the one, he was the chief apostle, yet they followed him. A lot of times you may have a gift, but God says that gifting is not for the right time. And so you have to wait on your time.
Right.
And you're right. It's without repentance. You're giving a responsibility when you're given that gift. But then God will also place you in circumstances where there's more than one shepherd in a field full of sheep.
Right.
And they all have the same calling to be shepherds, but it's always got to be a lead shepherd. I get what Jerome is saying. If God has given you a gift, you need to act out and pursue the gift that he has given you. Right. However, you got to make sure that it is in God's timing that you're walking in that gift, because if you go before him, you can find yourself in a mess. Now, for instance, in the situation I'm in, I sit behind a man of God, a true anointed called man of God. And our gifts complement each other. He's a preacher, I'm a teacher.
That's the key.
And that we do two different roles to our church. Even though he is the chief pastor and responsible for the church, my role is to fill in when he's not there and to teach on the level I teach. I have other people in the streets that I minister to that you can consider my flock, because I'm working out my calling. I'm still doing a pastoral role. I still have no pastoral responsibilities inside of my church. And sometimes he delegates things to me. But I get what Jerome is saying, that we should, if we're given a gift by God, operate in it. But you got to make sure it's the right time. And everybody ain't called to lead a church.
Right. Even though you're called the pastor, don't mean that you're called to lead a church. Because as Elder Price was just saying, sometimes pastoring is outside the four walls.
Right.
It's ministering to the people that you come in contact with. Like the people in the street that I run into, we have conversations about. You know, that's a part of pastoring. And it's awesome. I love my responsibility as an interim pastor. When a church don't have a pastor, they call me. And I preach until they find one. I stay for a couple services after he's installed for a peaceful transition. And then I go on about my business. And if they have need of me, they call. I love that role. Jerome is absolutely correct. If God is giving you a gift, use the gift given you.
Right.
Don't sit on it. But right. You got to make sure that you are using it in God's time.
Right.
I agree with you 100%. If you walk into a Ephesus, and there's 15 preachers sitting up there waiting to preach. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. I agree with you 100%. Everybody's not fulfilling their gifts or using their gifts when you got 15 preachers sitting up on the pulpit. Just wait. I don't agree with that either. But you have to know where your gifts, where the Lord make room for your gifts at. Because everybody, I'm telling you, the one thing you don't want to do is have those one third out there on you by yourself. Don't let the enemy trick you into going out there, like Elder Ratchet said, to open up a storefront and you messing up the sheep and messing yourself up. You'll know when the Lord got his hand on you to lead a flock, because he'll equip you. It's not just preaching. It's a lot that goes to being a pastor. You have to have the right family if you're married, because if not, you'll be divorced for the night over with. There's a lot of things to go into. You're never off. You're on duty 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You got to answer that call. You got to go to funerals that your family don't want to go to. You got to perform weddings that your family don't want to go to. It's just a lot of things. I mean, you got to counsel 24/7. Yeah, it's a never-ending job.
Brother Robert, I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this in a bad way because I'm trying to straight.
Oh, no, go ahead.
If everything you're saying right there is true, then don't call yourself a pastor. If your house ain't in order, then don't call yourself a pastor.
It's true.
Because the Bible is directly spells that out in the Word, that if he tells you that things are supposed to be in a certain order when you call yourself a pastor or a bishop. He put it out there in the Word to tell you what the qualification is. So if you say you can't do it because of your home ain't in order, I mean, I'm just going by what you just said, then you shouldn't call yourself a pastor. That's all I'm saying.
Right. I agree 100%. And all I'm saying is that people doing that every day, and they're messing up flocks because they're getting out there, as Elder Reddy said. They're going out there unequipped because somebody told them that, well, you're a pastor, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But they're not equipped. You have to have those gifts, because without them, you won't make it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's a powerful word you just said, being equipped. One of the part of equipping is knowing where you fall short and where your strengths are.
Amen.
Yeah.
If you don't know your strengths and weaknesses, you're already going to flop.
Because you got to know
what it is. I know for me what my strengths and weaknesses are. So I try my best to operate at my strengths. And even if I find myself in my weaknesses, I'm like David. I got enough sense to go to God and say, hey, I'm sorry. Because Glenn stepped in. And you know, you got to help Glenn, because Glenn is crazy sometimes.
Right.
You know, and that's one thing I love about this forum. When we get on here, it ain't no pretending. I'm not going to sit there and tell you every day, as a man of God, I get it right. I mean, just today, somebody pushed my buzz. I didn't cuss, but I wanted to.
Right.
But, you know, and that's the thing. You got to know where your equipment is, what you are capable of.
Good job. Brother Josh, give me some.
I just kind of want to go back to the beginning. Just got a question for some people who may be babes in Christ or who may be on the fence. Just any of you guys who want to answer it. How do you explain to someone how to differentiate between their desires and what God's desires are?
That's a good question. Anybody?
I see. I'm gonna try a little something. Let's go to the basics. There's no good thing in the flesh. So if the flesh is desiring, you know, the eyes, the hands, the mouth, the taste, everything of the flesh, then we know that it doesn't line up with God.
Amen.
It doesn't line up with God. To be carnally minded
is to be spiritually dead.
That's right. So we know that the spirit itself want to do the things of God always, always. It never fails. The spirit will always war against the flesh. If you choose the spirit, then you're going to choose right. If you choose the flesh, which a lot of us do, as Brother Glenn, as Pastor Glenn just said, man, we ain't perfect. We make mistakes.
Right.
The flesh wins sometimes. That's all to it.
Flesh wins a lot of times.
The flesh wins.
Quite often.
That's right. That's why we have to repent and move on.
Right.
Because it's a war. In a war, you lose battles.
Right.
You lose battles.
Let me ask a question. I want to make sure I got your question right, Josh. You know, you can nod right. It said, how do you differentiate between your desires and God's desire, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yeah.
All right. It's like Elder Price just said. Your desires will come in conflict with God's word.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's your wants, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. I mean, the things that you want. It says, seek God with all your heart and ask whatever you will, and he shall do it, that the Son will be glorified. That means that when we take the opportunity to seek God, our thought processes about what we want will change.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We will come in relationship with the word and then begin to try to emulate it and become what God is saying about us according to the word. And our fleshly desires will be put aside. But if we start giving way to the fleshly desires, less and less will we try to develop a relationship with God. Because right. To be honest with you, the reason that you walk away from the word or the relationship with God is that you're embarrassed, that you're disappointing God with your fleshly desires and not acting out on what you know to be true. That will over out, as our brother Charles say, truth that will outweigh the facts.
Right.
So whenever you see that your flesh or your desires are beginning to tip the scale in the favor of itself, you got to go to the word of God to see where that lines up. And if it doesn't line up with what the word says, that it's not God's will for your life.
Right. Correct. Right.
Man.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good,
amen.
Good man. It's like 9:30, man. We've been going really strong, man. This has been a really, really awesome night. Anybody got anything else before we do our takeaways? If ooh, not, yeah. Brother Johnson, give me something.
This is a good night round table. Thank you, fellas. I was excited about the night, but I got three things from the night. Build your relationship with God, pray, and have patience. That patience will work out if you build your relationship with God and continue to pray. That's for me personally.
That's good. I like it. Man, that was good, John. That was good. Man, boy, good job. Brother Prentice.
Yeah, appreciate you folks tonight, man. Brother Charles, Brother George, I always appreciate the wisdom. From love you. Jeremiah 29:11. I hear you, Brother Charles. Y'all for bringing it.
Amen.
All right, y'all.
Good job, Brother Robert.
Hey, man, I enjoyed the night. I thank you for the questions. I'm glad I made it. Internet went out. Somebody must have hit a pole or something today. But I'm just glad I got in. I just love the storm, man. So let you know I'll be praying for you. Even when I'm driving, Todd, I still be praying for you. So, yeah, man. And just the fact that iron sharpens iron, listen. As Radden said, man, sometimes y'all put up some questions that, you know, just blows the mind, and they're good to hear. They make you think, so that you can go do some more homework and study, and that's what it's all about. So I love you, brothers. Hey, keep praying for one another. And I'm missing somebody. He's off the screen. How you doing, brother?
He gone.
Oh, he gone?
Yeah, he just logged off.
I didn't get a chance to ask him how you doing, but it's good to see him back on the screen. God bless y'all, brothers.
Definitely, man. Love you too, bro. Brother Robert, we got to get Brother Robert some technology class. I texted Brother Robert yesterday, and he called me, and then he ended up butt-dialing me, texting me. And it looked like an eye test at the DMV. I don't think it had one word in it.
I was driving, Doc. I had you up on the Bluetooth. I was driving, man.
Hey, man, it's all good.
Yes, sir.
I got from the night that I gotta be more obedient in my patience.
Right.
And I mean it don't get no simpler than that. And I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Absolutely. Love you too, brother. Brother Charles.
Oh man, I just thank the Lord for you guys, man. And George, thank you, man, for that Jeremiah 29.
Hey,
man. I'm still dealing with that, man. But one thing I would like to share with you guys from that Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, and it don't matter what label you wearing, whether you're a pastor, whether you're a prophet, apostle, teacher, whatever, take the word and apply it to your life and find out how can I walk and live this word God is speaking to me. And whether I'm a pastor, whether I'm an apostle, prophet, that word is there for me to operate the way God designed me to operate. And the good thing about this word is the word says that we are a body with many members.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes every member of the body, part of the body, to function. The eye can't say because I don't have the mouth, I'm jealous of you all. The ear can't say because I can't see, I'm gonna stop hearing. But when we work together as one body with Christ,
come
the
on, head, come on,
God gets the glory.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
And take that, for me, I just can't get away from Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. That's just what God is dealing with me.
Right.
And I just thank you guys, man. Y'all, you guys, God uses you guys to help me, man.
Amen.
Yeah. Love you.
Love you too, bro. Love you too, Brother George.
Man, I just thank God for last Tuesday and thank God for the night, because like Brother Charles, that thing has been on me for so long, but I got to really, really thinking about it. I got quiet thinking about what Jerome said is about being a pastor. And so it's really, really in my spirit, really heavy, and just been thinking on that thing because, I was listening to Glenn as well and being an interim pastor for a year and listening to Brother Robert and what they were talking about. It takes a lot. It's a lot to come along with that. But Brother Jerome, I hear you, and I'm waiting patiently on the Lord for that. But I have been in a situation where I've asked the pastor, but it was the discernment of the Spirit that came up in me, and that was being spoken to me by the Holy Spirit that it wasn't time, because a lot of times people want you to be pastors and get into being a pastor, but then that's the spirit of discernment, because I've asked a couple of times and come to find out that it was some division going on, in those. So I thank God for that wisdom and knowledge when it comes. But Jerome, thank you for that question, brother. God has got me. So, but
thank you, brother,
for the night. Man, that thing hit me hard. So, but thank you, man. Those are questions that we need because it's impactful. So, I thank God for the night. I thank God for these men on this call. I love you guys. Amen.
Love you too. Love you too, man. Mm-hmm. Brother Dakota.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. And what Brother Josh was asking also about far the flesh and the spirit is concerned, in Galatians 5 and 16, the word says that, but I say, walk in the spirit, that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So one thing, we got to stay in the spirit, just like Brother John was saying, you got to pray, you got to fast, you got to stay in your word, you got to do all this type of stuff. And whenever you get that little thing, if something just don't quite feel right that you got to do, that's that spirit, man, until you know, don't do it. Don't do it. No, it's not right. It's just something that don't quite feel right. Don't act on it. Right. See, and that's how now you walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Because like I said, there's no good thing in the flesh, like Elder just said a while ago, and that flesh acts up. That's why the word says it's a tug of war. The spirit wants you to do one thing, the flesh wants you to do another. Really? Whatever you feed is going to grow. So you stay in your word as much as possible. You've been prayed as much as possible. You fast, you do all of that. You got to stay in the spirit as much as possible. Because whatever you feed is going to grow. And as far as like Brother Jerome, boy, as far as being a pastor is concerned, look here. Like I said, people will pump your head up.
There you go.
Preach every second Sunday. You got people in your own church to tell you, boy, if you start a church, I'm coming to your church. Because you get more amens than what the pastor get and all of that. I ain't letting nobody pump my head up. That's doing all of that type. Until God tell me to move, that's when I move. My mother had a church, man, and that church is sitting there right now. Ain't nobody using. And you need to go get your mama's church. You need to do up. But it's a whole lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff that goes into that. And I can't get into that right now and all of that type of stuff. But until God tell me to move, that's when I move. And right now, I admit I'm in a comfort zone. If somebody going to jail, ain't nobody going to call me. Ain't nobody ringing my phone in the middle of the night. I'm not the pastor. We go to church and all the lights cut off. Ain't nobody going to look at me about misusing money and all of that type of stuff. One thing about pastor, them some big shoes to fill. And I'm going to end with this. Somebody said, preaching is the easy part.
It's
the people that you got to deal with. People pulling on you in all different directions and all of that and whatnot. But when, like you said, God, if you're equipped to do so, God will equip you to do that. But now he just ain't going to send you out there without nothing. But God bless you. Last one of you brothers, God, man, I love you. You some of the baddest brothers on the planet. I said that last week in my Bible study. I talked about you guys for a hot second. Amen. I love you guys, and God bless you and every last one of you.
Amen.
God bless you too. Love you, bro. Love you, man. Man, it's been an awesome life. Brother Jerome.
All right. Everybody spoke to me about this pastor thing, and I appreciate it. But I want everybody to understand, God did not give us a spirit of fear.
There you go. Hello. Amen. Amen.
So he didn't give us a spirit of fear. God put you into something, and you calling yourself this or that for my pastor, bishop, or whatever the case, he will, if you stop being afraid, step out on faith, he will make it happen.
Amen.
He will make it happen. See, that's where the faith come in. Abraham left and put his son up on there, but finna chop his head off because he had faith that God was going to have a ram in the bush.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you now, I know we can talk about all the basics on here on this forum, but this forum that Glenn and Todd started is for us to go deeper. So what I'm trying to do tonight, I'm trying to get us to think deeper. I'm trying to get us to talk about the deeper things of this godly walk with God. Yeah, you know, we know that we know the basic conversations about the Bible and the basic stories. But now I want to get deeper into the spirit of God to know what he desire for our life. So I challenge all of you. I challenge all of you and me to talk about the things that nobody else want to talk about.
Gotcha.
You know, like this thing about people being secondary pastors and things of that nature. I guarantee you, I'm talking to the guys on the forum tonight, but there's somebody else out there that's doing the same thing that may look at it differently and say, wow, I may need to second think this thing.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, somebody else may, you know, it may not be Glenn or Dakota or George or Robert, but somebody else may say, wow, this brother just hit me in my heart.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying that we got to be able to stand out on faith, man, and walk that walk. And if you ain't willing to do that, that's on you. You know, that's between you and God. Amen. I'm going to leave that alone.
Amen, bro. Amen.
Hey, that's what we're about, man. That thought provoking, going deep in the spirit and loving on each other. You know, iron sharpened iron, Brother Robert said all the time, man. And man, this has been such a good night. Normally for the round table, man, I usually have 3 or 4 or 5 questions. I didn't have anything, man. But Brother Charles, we've been texting about 29-11, man, and that patient thing really just hit my spirit, man. And you guys took it and just, man, we're peeling back, man, just peeling. Now, you know, you can peel that much off of one thing, but great, great job tonight, man. Patience. Damn. Patience is a virtue. For me, we got to have it for God to get the glory.
Right, correct.
That being still and being patient and waiting on the Lord, man, those things, it's more than a song. It's more than a song, man. So before I turn it over to Glenn, next Tuesday will be the day after our 1-year anniversary, man. Man, I'm so
Man, I'm so excited. I can't even just even being patient. That's been an act of patience for each one of us to do this for a year. You know what I'm saying? To do this consistently, to sacrifice and dedicate every Tuesday night, man. You know, it's amazing to me, man. So next Tuesday is my birthday, and I got a lesson to add. And
amen.
Brother Rob, I've been working on it for a couple of weeks, about amen. 3 or 4 weeks. And Brother Robert, once I send it to you guys, he gonna bust out laughing. But he done said it about 4 or 5 times what the title of it is.
Okay.
So, man, I'm looking forward to it, man. I love you guys, man. I thank God for each and every one of you. Y'all mean so much to me, man. I really can't say that enough. But Brother Glenn, take me home before I cry.
Oh, before hey, Glenn, before you go, before you close out, I want to tell Jerome, I'm a pastor. And how about sow a seed into me? I'll give you my address, my telephone number.
Hey, Charles, I thought you was gonna ask Jerome when he was gonna open his church.
Amen.
Right. He got to sow a seed first.
Man, I'm done with you guys, man. I'm done.
That is always, man, it's such a blessing, man, to be here. When I got home, man, we didn't have any power, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I've been working all day. I hadn't charged my phone. So I got in the car. I drove while the phone charged and listened, and I'm glad that the Lord allowed me to make it, man. It's just something about being on here to be able to break bread of life with y'all, man, and just be renewed, because some days you don't feel like it, but bless the Lord, you get there. And the devil gave me every opportunity to opt out, but bless God, he allowed me to get here, and I thank him for it. Jerome, you're absolutely right. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but we have to run this race with patience, and patience is the absence of fear. So, you know, I bless God for you pushing us to the next level, and you are the one that makes sure that we go to the deeper level, to go to the deeper understanding. That in itself is a pastoral obligation.
Amen.
So don't take it light when Josh said when you start your own church.
Amen.
Bless the Lord.
Amen.
But man, knowing that when I get among you fellas, like Dakota said, knowing that I'm going to learn something, man, and to be taught by my brothers, you know, it just does something for me. I love y'all. I don't have the words in me because Ty said, I'm about to cry. We coming up on a year.
Right.
And, you know, man, of just being able to come together on Tuesday night and break the bread of life. And, man, and I bless God for it. But all hearts and minds are clear, man. We're going to go ahead and go before the Lord. Oh, and Dakota, on Wednesday night on your Bible study, we will be paying you a visit.
True. Okay, brother.
Oh, yeah. I saw it on the other Wednesday night. I was in the middle of something, so I couldn't stop. But bless the Lord, I'm going to get there.
Oh, I've been watching.
And,
been watching.
Amen. And I got a request. They're going to do a prayer and preaching in the park in Little Mountain. Somebody is trying to get it together, and they want to know if we will come out as a group and have conversation with the people. Because I did not know that as many people watch as they do, and they want to hear from us as brothers to, you know, tell our story as a group. So once I get the dates from all that, I will come back to the group and let you all know. Man. And we'll get together on that, man, and have word with the Lord about it. Amen.
Oh, before you pray, you see what I'm talking about? See, this is what I'm saying. Now you telling me all these followers we got. I just passed an empty church up here in Newberry. We could put you, Glenn, you, George, and Dakota in this church. I don't want to talk about being 3 seats in the same church, but you can go do your own thing. We can name the church Every Step of the Way Church.
I watch this stuff. Watch this
church Every Step of the Way.
Amen. Go get this church,
and then you can bring all these people here to this same church and hear our story. Speaking. We got the following already.
Let me ask you a question, Jerome.
And y'all got the license.
You, man.
Amen. Let me ask you a question now. Let me ask you a question. So are you going to fill the office of a deacon?
I'm gonna fill the office of helping you to buy the church.
I'm with that. I like financing, but I'm talking about the office of a deacon.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what I believe. I wish there was no titles in church.
Absolutely. I'm with that.
I believe you do what you do because you want to serve God and you don't need a title to do that.
That's what I love. That's true. And that is
I don't need to be a deacon because I'm gonna do the functions of a deacon anyway, because that's what God is asking me to do. I don't need the title. I just want us to go do our thing. So y'all need to get y'all need to get up and start. You, Dakota, and George.
I just want to do the announcement.
And let's make this happen.
I just want to do the announcement.
Hey, come on, Todd.
Amen. Let's go to law for Jerome Hamill start church.
Newberry. I thought Jerome was in Baltimore when you came to South Carolina.
Man, we don't want to talk about that. Leave that
alone. I thought you was in Baltimore.
Bless the Lord.
All right.
Amen. Y'all ready? Yes, all hearts and minds are clear?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, Father God, is in the name of Jesus, Lord, as always, Father, we thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to come within this group, God, and to minister to each one of our heart, God, as we try to help our brothers and sisters along the way that come watching by video. Yes. Father, we thank you, God, that there's never a time that we have showed up, God, for you, God, that you didn't meet us right where we were. Yes. Father, even in the midst of our mess, God, you were there before we got there, God, trying to guide us, lead and direct us out, Father, by your Holy Spirit. Now, Father, as we go deeper into your word, God, we ask that you increase our understanding even the more. Father, be with every man on this call and everyone that is anointed to be here, God, in presence, God, and by way of the internet, God, that you continue just to open up our understanding, God, and continue to give us that faith that supersedes fear, God, that overrides any oppression of the enemy, God, that strength, God, that cannot be stopped, God, knowing that within you, God, we can do all things but fail. And God, we continue to give your name all glory, honor, and praise as we go, God, thanking you for a year of fellowship, God, and that we ask that you increase it many more years, and not only increase the years, God, but increase the numbers, Father, that those will come and ask, what must I do to be saved? And God, as Jerome has given us the mandate, God, let us be a church, God, that is before the people, God, ever present, God, without titles, God, showing what can be done. Yes, God, we thank you that nothing, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and always, God, your spirit shall win. We give you all glory, honor, and praises. In the master's name of Jesus Christ, I do pray. All in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
I love y'all, man.
Great night.
Love y'all. Great
y'all, man.
Night.
Love y'all, man.
Y'all have the best week, man. See y'all next week.
Yes.
All right, fellas.
All right. Go Cowboys.
Every step of the way, missionary Baptist.
Hey, Mr. Charles.
Yes.
Mr. Charles.
Yes.
Did Ty tell you that y'all going to get a new neighbor soon?
Nah, I ain't told you yet.
Huh?
Me and my wife, we signed a contract on a house we closed October the 1st, and it's right around the corner from y'all.
Where?
It's off of Ashmore Bridge and Stanley Springs Road.
Oh, really?
All right.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
All right.
Amen. I appreciate it. So I'll be over there in your garage and everything else.
That means we're going to be in the doghouse more.
When you come, John, just remember, I got a push lawnmower, and I need a little help.
I got you.
All right. All right.
We'll
see you.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bless you guys.
Y'all be good, man.
All right.